I want us to finish this morning, just a few minutes as we come around God's word, by turning to John chapter 4, to a very familiar passage of Scripture. And we're only going to read just a few verses of it, because I know that you will know the story behind it. It's Jesus at the well of Samaria, and meeting the woman of Samaria there, and what went on, and so forth. And we're going to read from verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes harvest? Look, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." I want to share 5 words with you, and don't panic, because I can only share them with you. You need to take them away home with you and think about them for yourself, and think through the issues and the challenges that they bring to you. And the first word is priority. Because here, as the disciples talk to Jesus and urge him to eat, he clarifies for himself and for us the great priority in life. What does he say? "My food, my meat, is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." The context, of course, is the disciples' question. Has somebody already brought him something to eat? But Jesus, of course, is talking about an altogether different food, altogether different sustenance. He's declaring a very challenging thing, that the very core of his life on earth, the very motivating factor, the driving force, the animating principle in the earthly life of the Son of God, was to do the will of the Father, was to do his Father's will. And what a challenge that is for us as God's people. The fundamental priority must be pursuing the will of God. That's our first priority. And that pursuit entails constant spiritual effort and lifelong learning. You know, I used to think when I was a younger Christian, it'll get easier when you get older, but it doesn't. No easier. The battle's just the same. I visited an old 92-year-old man in Nakane. He's a blessing to visit, Willie Robert. And Willie Robert, inevitably, when we get round to talking and sharing around God's word, he'd say, he said, "It's still a battle. It's still a battle." And so it is. But dear friends, it is the battle that God wants us to fight, to do his will. And listen, I was talking to the young people this morning in the young people's Bible study, talking about don't waste your life. To fail to do his will is to waste your life. To fail to do his will is to waste your life. What was Jesus' desire? His desire, his great priority, was to do the will of him who sent me. And that, of course, involved saving the lost. The first word, priority. The second word, despondency. You say, where does that come? Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Look what Jesus says here. "Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes." Think of the context. The context was Samaria. The disciples were in alien territory. They were in territory where, if you like, the people hated them, and indeed many Jews hated the Samaritans as well. It was very hard soil. Humanly speaking, there was no chance of a harvest, no chance of fruitfulness there. And Jesus says, lift up your eyes. You know, you're perhaps despondent. You perhaps see no possibility of any progress here. But he says, lift up your eyes, because there is a harvest. The fields are white for harvest. You know, it was a strange situation. Here was Jesus sitting with a woman of doubtful character from a Samaritan background, one of the untouchables, one of the unreachables as far as the Jews were concerned. And Jews generally would see no harvest, no possibility of harvest there. But Jesus did. Jesus did. He wasn't there by chance. He must needs go through Samaria. Well, you know, Jesus teaches us a glorious lesson here. The lesson of lifting up our eyes and looking with a divine perspective upon the difficult and challenging world around us. God is the God of the impossible. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. Have you a straying son or daughter? Have you a mum or a dad hardened in sin, not yet saved, a brother or a sister, antagonistic to the gospel? God does the impossible. Lift up your eyes. Look in the fields. They're white, already to harvest. You know, what a motivation for mission there is in God's word. Because God tells us that there's a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are on the winning side. I have a grandson who plays football at quite a good level, and I said to him one day, John, how would you feel if I told you we're going out to this important match today and you're going to win 10-0? He said, I wouldn't be able to wait to get there. You see, to know that we're on the winning side is a motivating factor. It's a motivating factor, something that drives us out. No reason for despondency. No reason to be downcast, despite the difficulty of the world. We are on the winning side. The fields white or ready to harvest. Some commentators think actually that Jesus literally was telling the disciples to look up and see the people streaming out of Samaria in their white robes, you know, coming to hear what he had to say after the woman witnessing to them. Maybe, I'm not sure. But certainly the fields white to harvest. So Jesus, the third word, first word's priority, second word's despondency, third word is complacency. And Jesus here is rebuking deadening complacency. Do you yet say, you know, there are 3 months yet, 3-4 months yet, then comes the harvest? Jesus says, no complacency. No complacency, no putting it off. No, it'll be better tomorrow or it'll do tomorrow. Today is the time. The harvest is here. We must not be complacent about it. It may not seem very fruitful looking round you, but we must not have the attitude that we have plenty of time yet. Listen to what our brother said in the last video. He said, I don't think he said we have much time. I love his accent, work. He must have learned that in County Tyrone somewhere and so on. But he was right. Time is short, and we need to be at this. So we have priority, we have despondency, we have complacency, we have the fourth word, urgency. And Jesus is speaking with urgency here. Our King James Version has that the fields are white already to harvest. Now, the word already is not there in the Greek at that point, but it does appear in the Greek when Jesus continues. He says, verse 36, already the one who reaps is there and is receiving wages and gathering fruit. The harvest time is now. No complacency, but urgency in reaching out to reap what is there. Christ emphasizes later on in John's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 4, he says, the night is coming when no man can work. There's an urgency about this work, and that's why we want you to join with us in prayer. Join with us as you can to help to support this work, to reach folk who have never heard the name of Jesus. You know, it's so sad to think that there's a part of the world, that great lump of land, far east Russia, where there are people who have probably never heard Jesus' name, still in tribal, animistic, ritualistic religions. And the last word is victory. The last word is victory. You see, the phrase at the end of verse 36 here is very, very significant. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. Oh, we've got the victory in Christ. You know, I love the end of Isaiah chapter 55, where Isaiah records for us what God says. He says that the trees of the hills, the mountains will resound in singing, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. And I've never heard the mountains singing. I've heard the wind singing through the mountains, and I've never seen the trees clapping their hands. They've waved their branches right enough. But I know what the picture is, don't you? It's a picture of rejoicing. Rejoicing at the victory of the gospel. Because Jesus Christ is building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Five words. Priority. What's your priority in life? To do the will of God. Despondency. Don't be downcast. The news is not good, whether you read it in the papers or watch it on the television or see it on your iPad. But God is still in control. He is Lord of all, and he's the God of the impossible. Complacency. Don't let settle back thinking that there's plenty of time or there are plenty of other people to do it. It's our task. We have to do it, and we have to be about it. Urgently, that's our fourth word, urgency. There's an urgency about that, this task that we have of reaching others with Christ. But we do it with that great hope and assurance of victory. The Lord Jesus Christ will call out his sheep. They will recognize his voice. He'll follow them. There'll be one fold and one shepherd. And he says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they will never perish. May the Lord help us really and bless us as we seek to advance the cause of the gospel in the world at large. May the Lord bless you in your convention over these days. May your hearts be touched and warmed and challenged. And may it be so even that some would be sent out from Lisburn Baptist to serve the Lord in other places in the world. God bless you, and thank you for listening.